And welcome to Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. My name is Adrienne, and I'll be your host. I will be discussing historical figures, some real, some not so real, who were lovers and mistresses in history and society. I want to define, first and foremost, what a mistress is in the context of this show. The Oxford Language and or Oxford Dictionary defines mistress as a woman having an extramarital sexual relationship, especially with a married man. Additionally, later on in this show, I'll be discussing male lovers in history. Please note that this show does discuss adult themes, including sex, sexual assault, language, politics, and religion. You have been warned. Listener discretion is advised.
First and foremost, let's discuss the characters of the story. Of course, we have Bathsheba, but we also have the Lord God, Samuel, Saul, Jonathan, Uriah, David's other wives, and the children of David and Bathsheba. Based on the books that I've read in the Old Testament, which includes Chronicles, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings, here's what we've learned about Bathsheba. There's not a lot of definitive history on her, aside from rabbinic and theological commentary, which I'm not going to discuss. Background, so to speak. We know that she allegedly lived the 11th and 10th century BCE before Common Era. The years attributed to her time in history are from 1010 to 975 BCE. The other thing we know is the fact that she was married to Uriah the Hittite, a loyal soldier in David's army. According to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3, we know that Eliam is the father of Bathsheba, and including scholars suggest or allude to Eliam's father is Ahithophel, also in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now that we've covered Bathsheba's background, let's get into David. So David was the son of Jesse, who was the son of Obed, who was the son of Naomi from the book of Ruth chapter 4 verses 18. We first meet David in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 11, where Samuel was instructed by the Lord God to bring forth the youngest of his sons, David, who at the time was tending to his sheep. Not only does David tend to the sheep, but apparently he also plays the harp, which is supposed to help boot out the evil spirit in Saul from 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 16. Also, David is described as thus, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, and prudent in affairs, and a handsome man. Oh, so he's a biblical Apollo. Talk about some foreshadowing coming. Anyway, talk later didn't read. David's name is translated from Hebrew, which means the beloved one. But you could also say he's a pain in the ass too. Again, more foreshadowing. David's noteworthy accomplishment is that he was the determining factor in defeating the Philistines in battle. According to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25, Saul advertised that whoever defeated Goliath will be rewarded with riches and glory. In addition to the riches and glory, the victor will also gain the hand of Saul's daughter, Merib, his eldest daughter, in marriage. Once succeeding in defeating and becoming essentially Saul's heir, David declined the hand of Merib, because of course he did. He respectfully declined. Good for him. David married Saul's other daughter, Michal or Michal. Again, these names are going to drive me up the... Nobody knows how to say and or pronounce them, and it drives me nuts. Anyway, David had Michal, or Michal, whatever her name is, marry another man, Palti. David then decided to marry many other women and beget his heirs. Of course he did. So I'm going to skip the rest of 1 Samuel, and spoiler, David defeats Goliath in battle with a slingshot, and the Israelites defeat the Philistines. Woohoo! Readers learn in that 1 Samuel chapter 31, Saul and his sons, including Jonathan, confidant David, and his Saul's standard bearer are killed by the Philistines. In 2 Samuel is where all the sex and scandals begin with David. This is the fun book of the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, David laments, particularly about Jonathan, "Your love was more wonderful to me than the love of women." Does this mean that David was gender fluid? Bye. Well, it doesn't really matter. But it does illustrate that David does have a deep emotional relationship with people, with men and women. But I think more so men. But anyway, I digress. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, states that the war between the house of Saul and David was long, but that David was gaining more power. Saul was losing his power in this internal feud. Oh, and David's heirs are noted from his wives in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. Side note, apparently Michal, Saul's other daughter, was worth 100 Philistine foreskins. Also, why foreskins? I did a cursory Google, and apparently because the foreskins were considered an unclean part of the body. So after doing a little bit more Googling and digging around, the foreskin from one Philistine is hard to get, let alone 100, and that was used as a dare from Saul to David to complete in order to gain the throne of the Israelites. Yeah, that makes no sense. Moving on. 2 Samuel chapter 11. David was lounging in his bed at home. He decided not to go on campaign and saw a beautiful woman bathing on the roof. David asked about her, and like all biblical passages, you get a mini family, which we've already gone over, that Bathsheba is the daughter of Eliam, who was also at this time the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So, like many kings who get caught up in their fancies, Bathsheba is summoned by David to come visit him. Well, actually, we don't know if it was consent, but he decided to sleep with her. And then what happens? I have a question though. Did Bathsheba really want to sleep with David? Was it consensual? Kind of reminds me of another biblical story, the episode 1 Hagar, if you're interested. There's no clue as to whether Bathsheba consented to the relationship between herself and David. There's a big power dynamic that's a big theme in this story. Does she really consent because she wants to be with him and to commit the sin of adultery? Or did she have to do it, you know, to placate David because he fancied her? Here's what I pick up from this story. David manipulates the opportunities to his advantage. Again, power dynamic. He's the king of Israel and spies upon beautiful woman, then decides that his hormones are more important than a person's willingness to sleep with him. There's an immense power dynamic between a king and a soldier's wife. I also want to quote Mel Brooks from History of the World Part 1 and Robin Hood Men in Tights. It's good to be the king. It's good to be the king when you can thumb your power at someone who's in a lower socioeconomic. The Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20 verses 13 and 14. You shall not commit murder, commit adultery. Oopsies. You shall not steal. Mm-hmm. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did that too. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Oops, he did it again. Also, you cannot covet his manservant, maidservant, his ox, his donkey, or whatever belongs to you, his or your neighbor. I've also mentioned that David is a pain in the ass. A beloved pain in the ass. So Bathsheba did just blatantly and blankly pull David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 5. She's pregnant. Once learning about this and the predicament that he's now in, David sends for Uriah the Hittite. Uriah was bidden to come home, wash his feet. But because Uriah is a loyal soldier, he did not sleep in his home, as David was hoping. David was informed that Uriah did not sleep in his home, but explained to David, "The ark in Israel and Judah dwell in booths. My lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. And shall I come to my house and eat and drink and live with my wife? By your life and by the life of my soul, I will do this." Essentially, Uriah is saying that he cannot sleep with his wife while he's fighting for the Lord on behalf of David. Unlike David, readers are given the impression that Uriah is a good, upstanding, loyal, and devout man. He is honorable and trustworthy, especially with the soldiers. Unlike David, who is lusting after another man's wife. Again, consensual arrangement is kind of up in the air. Or is it unwilling compliance on Sheba's part? David now has to devise another plan to hide the pregnancy, which again was very abrupt if you ask me. David then writes a letter saying that Uriah needs to go to the front of the fiercest battle and go away from him so that he will be hit and will die. Okay, David. Why do you need to do this? Oh, that's right. You committed adultery and needed to hide your gestating indiscretion. However, David is punished and rebuked by the Lord. There is a great parable from the prophet Nathan chastising David. As per the New International Version, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. I figure if I read this verbatim to you, or at least to the best of my ability, you'll get the point or the gist of what David did and finally dawns on him on what his actions are coming to. The Lord sent Nathan to David when he came and said, "There will be two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, it grew up with him and his children, it shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel said. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why do you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonite. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David, solemnly, of course, says to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. Dude, seriously? No shit. You sinned against the Lord. You slept with another man's wife, whether with her consent or not, and you were duly reprimanded. David, sweetie, there are consequences to those actions. Further on, after telling Bathsheba that their son died per David's sins, he comforted her and then made love to her again. Oh, okay, so no lessons really learned there, huh? Remember, David is beloved and he's favored by the Lord God. That doesn't mean he's infallible. Moving on. I want to quickly mention his noted wives. First, we have Michal, daughter of Saul. She loved David, but chastised him due to his fervent devotion to God. So I married her off to Palti, who did love her. Then apparently they got divorced, and then she went back to David. And because she mocked David's devotion to the Lord, they didn't have any kids. So no issue. Abigail of Carmel, probably the easiest of names in this particular case. Widow of Nabal, who was a man of consequence, and then he died. So then David married her. They did have issue. Chaleb, I swear with these names. He was also known as Daniel, which makes things a lot easier. But how they got translated Daniel from Chaleb, I have no idea. Ahinoam of Jezreel, she bore Amnon. Haggith is another one. She bore Adonijah. That's how I'm pronouncing his name. In his infinite stupidity, Adonijah decides he's going to create a sacrifice for the Lord, grab courtiers, and make a place for himself, if not throw a coup over his father David for the throne of Israel. Unlike his younger brother Solomon, Adonijah is not exactly the wise one. Not even a wise ass or a smart ass. More like a dumbass. There's Makah or Makah. She bore Absalom. He later tries to overthrow his father. Ooh. This family belongs on some daytime television show. Abital, she bore this kid, Shephatiah. I'm just going to go with that name. Eglah bore Ithream, and of course, Bathsheba. She bore Shemua, Shohab, Nathan, and Solomon. Solomon is the one that ordered the baby to be cut in half to see who the real mother is and whether or not they care for the child. Wisdom at its finest. But that's a whole different story. Oh, and he had numerous concubines. That's nice. Sexual servitude or emotional servitude. Sound familiar? Anyway, so different sources quote David as having up to potentially 18 wives. You know, I wonder, do you think he would like golf? That'd be one hell of a course. I guess in a roundabout way, Bathsheba turned from victim to victim. David married her, and out of all of his wives, she bore him the most children, most notably Solomon. He was supposed to be the wisest king of all the Israelite king. But again, different story. Not going to discuss that. But Bathsheba did become the most famous queen mothers. Moving on from the book of 2 Samuel, book of 1 Kings gives further insight into the life of Bathsheba. In 1 Kings, Bathsheba learns that David's son Adonijah, by Haggith, invites his half-brothers and other notable courtiers during a sacrifice to the Lord and grab the crown of his father. Bathsheba is then stopped by the prophet Nathan, giving her a heads up about what Adonijah is doing. Nathan advises Bathsheba to then go to David and makes her plea about having Solomon as heir. Once Bathsheba speaks her peace with David, Nathan comes up to support her claim, having Solomon as the next king. Nathan then describes what Adonijah has done to get his father's throne. David then decides to call in Bathsheba and then promises that Solomon will follow him as the next king of the Israelites. In chapter 2 of 1 Kings, Adonijah speaks with Bathsheba, noting that his younger brother has become king. He then asked Bathsheba to bring the concubines of his father. Now remember, I told that parable from Nathan to David. This is coming back up. I told you foreshadowing was very important in the story. After this incident, no other mentions are made of Bathsheba. But just to give you the heads up, Adonijah sleeps with one of his father's concubines, therefore, breaking more commandments. What is up with this family and breaking commandments? But he didn't honor his mother and father, or at least particularly his father. He slept with another man's wife. So I guess really what it comes down to is the apples do not fall far from this tree. Ooh. Anyway, like I said, after this incident with Bathsheba and Adonijah, there's really no other mentions of her aside from being the mother of Solomon. And there's no other recourse between David and Bathsheba. David dies. Solomon becomes king. Ooh la la. So let's get down to the nitty gritty of like what I described in our definitions, both from Oxford and from my contextual definition. Can Bathsheba be defined as a mistress? Yes. Again, not necessarily a willing mistress due to another story of unbalanced power dynamics between two literary characters. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, Hagar and Abraham, see the first episode. She can be defined as a mistress as she had sex with David and also David was married. For an episode about Bathsheba, I'm certainly covered a lot of David's life more so than her. Bathsheba is a mistress and a biblical victim. For such an important figure, she does not play a direct or major role in her relationship. I did not find Bathsheba to have self-autonomy. Her life was upended when David called her for a liaison. So, kind of like Hagar, she's a victim. I have concluded that yes, Bathsheba was a mistress. But readers cannot make a conclusive decision as to whether or not she was a willing mistress turned wife or just it was socially acceptable for her to marry David due to the fact that he had an adulterous affair with her and killed her husband. However, readers cannot make certain as to whether her relationship with her first husband, Uriah the Hittite, was a happy one or more of a social or contractual marriage, not necessarily for love, but rather for socioeconomic purposes. Readers also cannot get insight on Bathsheba's point of view when it comes to her relationship with David. We just don't have that information. What we can guess is that she may have reciprocated her feelings for David after they married. Again, she's the only one that bore him more than one child. But we don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to Sex, Scandal, and Shenanigans. Be careful you don't get into any shenanigans. I may end up telling your story next. If you're interested in contacting the podcast, I have updated my email to sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. You can also visit my website, sexscandalshenanigans.my.canva.site, S-I-T-E. The show is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Adrian. Thank you again, and bye. Thank you.